I am not sure what time it is, but it is past midnight. The last ceremony is about to take place. We've been waiting for a while for it to start. The healers, Abokoko, there's quite a few of them. They are inside Indumbeni. They've been singing for most of the night. You can hear them, but you can't see them inside. This ceremony is dedicated to the way of the water. I think they're about to come up. You can feel the temperature drop. You can feel it at the back of your neck. There's a thick fog that has... The thick fog that has surrounded the village. It feels like the world outside has vanished beyond the fog. Or maybe we have. The drums sound like bubbling water. The sound surrounds you, almost swallows you. Imagine, what if we have crossed over into the water, past time, past place, past borders, hearts, land, spirit. Village has been a mind-boggling experience. I mean, I came here with the intention of trying to understand spirituality in relation to March and March, but once you get here, you realize that that is your issue. This is my issue, our issue as the people who have come to the village. My intention was to speak to people about March and March, but the people here, March and March is not their issue. These are people in a small, remote village that has no network. these are people who are just trying to survive. What am I going to ask them? Have you ever had someone ask you questions about an issue when that issue is actually their issue and not yours? That's literally what I feel like. So the conversations that I'm going to share with you are going to be conversations that we as people who have come to the village are reflecting on, because this experience is strange to us. It's new to us, but it's not new or strange to the people who are from here. So I'd like to invite you. These conversations are going to be more of a meditation than interviews. It's going to be more about contemplating our place here than trying to interrogate the people who live here. Yesterday, I counted roughly that there are about 100 people here.
Yeah, roughly.
Roughly 100 people here. And you are literally the center, the glue holding everyone together here, by virtue of the fact that you are one of, actually the only person who can speak Shona and South African languages fluently. What has that meant for you? That the role that you have been placed in during this time?
Yo, that question is so vast, hey?
Yes, it is.
I was saying that question is so vast, and so also when he walked in, it also made me think about the fact that I can't speak as a Pitizela, because also at the same time my voice is not the loudest. And so it even adds to the vastness of, you know, the role that I am playing in this space. But what does it mean for me personally is tricky, because it's something that I just found myself in without particularly thinking about it or even seeing the difference. It's almost like just an automatic switch. And part of me also brings it back to my upbringing, you know. Ukuthi ukuphilisana nabantu, you know. Like Malume Tshepo said earlier, you know, he's considered privileged. I also come from a similar background myself, where privileged in both ways, privileged in the number of people that I'm exposed to in my family, which is different languages, different areas and spaces, but also privileged in terms of having access to travel and experience different countries, different provinces. And I feel like that has enabled me to play the role that I'm playing. Part of that. And so it's a homely feeling, actually. It does not feel to me like a duty. It does not strain me in any way. instead it makes me feel like exactly what I am, an African. And so, which is also part of what I struggle with when people ask for uyini, what are you, what's your lineage and whatever, and then I have to explain, well, okay, I'm Pedi, I'm whatever. But my personal answer is I'm an African. I don't particularly like to categorize myself as this or that, because, and funny enough, I would have that response prior to being able to speak the many languages that I do and having the experience of being able to be the center in such a big space with that carries so many people. And so just being a human being, just a simple human being that sees the other being, all the different beings, even in where we are here, the Shona dialects are many. It is not just one. And because you are that, you know, person who is interacting with all of them, every one of them thinks you speak all their dialects and they're so happy, and that there's this young lady who is able to engage with us so beautifully, and it's fascinating for them to see and experience. And so everyone wants to actually talk to you, firstly to see that really, can you actually do it, number one, or are they, is this like a lie or what's happening? I heard that lady say you can speak Shona and you're South African. And so it's just interesting but also very heartwarming to be able to hold that space and to actually just show hore singabantu, we're just human beings, and all these different categories of, you know, races, nationalities actually do not exist. I truly believe they do not exist as an African when I see another African.
What has been challenging during this time of being here?
It's tricky because I can say that it's a challenge, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like a challenge, like I said earlier on. But it's everyone wanting a piece of you. Not because there's something specific that they actually want to say or need to say, but just because they want to have that interaction with another human being that understands them, even though they don't come from the same place as them. And being able to marry, you know, the two worlds, the two countries. And so for them and for myself, it then becomes universal. It just becomes like we really are one being. We are all from the universe. We are all from one source. There is literally no difference between all of us. And hence I say it's a challenge because I have to, like, give a piece of myself, even to the little children that are fascinated by this sister, this auntie, who can talk to me and play with me in my own language, but she does not look like the people around me. So
what has been, because none of us can understand Shona properly, so we don't know what the people's sentiment actually is about us being here and what's happening in South Africa. What have you heard? Like, how are people actually feeling about, one, what's happening in South Africa, and two, about us being here?
I'm going to be very honest. It could also be tricky because maybe it's because they just love having the experience of talking to me as a South African.
Yeah.
So it might be biased, but generally my interaction with the people that I've had the topic with about what's happening in South Africa and the fact that we are here has been very contradictory to what is happening in South Africa. Like, they're happy, genuinely happy to have us here. And so it can be confusing because they understand for their children are being chased away. Some of them we've seen bare, they're, you know, they're being killed and all the things that we've seen on media. But for them, the warmth rather that I feel when I converse with them about what is happening with their children in South Africa and your March and March business. But at the same time, you can also feel Hore, they are crying for their children because they understand Hore, our children actually need to be there because they are struggling when they are here. So we don't understand why you people don't want us, because Tina, we don't have a problem with you. We actually love you and want to be one with you. So you can feel the contrast between the two, you know, things that are happening inside of them when you talk to them about the whole issue. So they love us, they are warm towards us, and I think even everyone else that's here can attest to how they've been treated. We've had a very lovely experience being here. They've treated us with much kindness. They've served us whilst we are chasing their children away. They've truly served us. There's nothing that we lacked. And they went beyond, in fact, what they actually have. You know, yeah. They wanted to make sure these people are coming from, you know, these fabulous places. So we can't just give them pap and morocco every day. So they would go the extra mile to make sure we get the best. Whilst on the other side, Tina, we are chasing their children away. Do you understand? So for me, that shows exactly how they feel about us and how they are doing a dance between everything that's happening. But here they have to deal with us as human beings because that's what they see us as. Not as those South Africans who are oppressing our children and chasing our children away.
And I think it's that shame and a key feel I had a fit more, because knowing how welcoming they are and having to still deal with, Malume, you were speaking about privilege earlier on, still with dealing with the privilege of having a South African passport where we can get like our little fast track through the queues of throngs of people that we've been chasing away or not ourselves. I think it maybe the shame also was an understanding of where we're going to be welcomed so wholeheartedly. And in good sabotogo, you know, how we still have that privilege that, oh yeah, we could just swift through, check in. I want to go to airport. They, Baleba, fast check-in, whatever they're called. Yeah. King, priority boarding. Yes. Nerele priority boarding. Go bothering. Yaba to ban rabakubelang hai. Banabat let's move. Marie, we still had the privilege. So it's almost like Rimahua. You know?
I think I can to add on to that and to get into the question that I asked everyone is that my moment here, the moment that captured everything about here was last night when in the tent there were about almost 20 healers in one group dancing to the same beat, a lot of them from different places. There was a person from Lesotho, South Africa, Zimbabwe, and I understand Mozambique, some of them. And them in this strange, interesting synergy that they were all dancing to the one thing. But the thing that hit me about the moment is that all these people, there was about 100 people here last night.
thinking that all these people are here for this one South African to hold space for this people literally from different countries who are, who we as South Africans are in conflict with, left their lives to come hold space for days on end for one person. For me, that was the moment that literally got me emotional to say, I almost didn't have words for it, you know, to say it. Like, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing exactly? What's the plan? You know, and it's a question that I think I'll be wrestling with for some time. And maybe part of why I'm doing this is I'm trying to understand actually what is it, what's the plan. But I don't know if anyone wants to share what was your moment for this weekend where you sat and cast up.
Yeah. But that with me, the moment started when I left Botswana, because you know, I always try by all means to be on my own journey. At the same time, when I live the life that everybody else is living, so I got invited. I was excited. I was worried about the, you know, the unrest and all that, but I still left because I just wanted to get here. I had never been to Zimbabwe. I think I only came in like once in 2010, but it was just on the periphery of the border. So this time around, it's a bit deeper. It's isolated. I just wanted to get away, just to go see, you know, what's out there in Zim, support Tatu at the same time. You can't get more than that. So it's been really lovely because I'm also in a journey trying to learn myself. Mm. Yeah, I don't know myself. So I'm trying to find myself as well. So I thought, I think it's all in the same line. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the first was definitely coming to a space, knowing that one of my passions is documentation. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to offer Gogo was a documentation of this time. Mm-hmm. To be like, yo man, I know there are moments you might miss, mm-hmm. because ugwenyindo, but here's a folder with everything. Just look back and see what was going on. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to find out how little of that could happen.
<Deja vu. laughs>
So I'll go ahead.
Yeah, don't feel special.
You know, you get here for real, bro. No, like got here, they explained to Coco, but I know I'm here to camera, my camera, what Coco, what is sharp. And then everywhere she's just like, no camera. No phone. Yeah, I chance. And I think my moment was really realizing that I came here on that mission, but I found a mother. In the sense that I think she saw me spiritually in a way that a lot of people fail. In that South Africans also kind of have been colonized in thinking about spirituality just in the Mungoma sense. Mm-hmm. And they've forgotten that umsebenzi wesandla is a real ancestral calling. And I think there's something that clicked in her when she saw my work. Because when I was trying to collect the clay and explain, I take out my phone, I'm like, hey man, landlord and yenza. And she sees the work and she's just like, hey brah. When we're trying to, and it's fine. And I mean, then the follow-up, I guess, guidance that I would receive from her in terms of things that I need to do to enhance my practice and my understanding of it as my own spiritual medium was what
like the largest moment was, I was like, yeah, fuck, thank God I love this camera. You know, because in a lot of instances, what I think is me being loyal to it is me actually coming to the spaces that are calling me for something far deeper. I arrive as a documenter and I leave as a healed patient. You're just like, oh, okay, that's what's up. And my second moment, man, I guess Tobile touched on briefly, but on our first day here. Okay, first day we rested. Second day, had like a crazy drive to a place called Chipping. It was like 4 hours, if not more, like just on the road. And the constant thing I kept seeing were like these interesting brick ovens, you know. And I just kept saying in the car, I need a moment to stop and document these things, because I've been talking about this without any
proof. No, is that what those things are?
Yeah, bro. Down there. Yeah, bro. Those are
kills. So they're bricks and then they have the wood inside
to cook.
The actual is that brick. What the thing is?
What we're sitting inside of here is made from those bricks. I met the guy that made these bricks that built this house. And I mean, for me, that was the biggest moment, is that like we really talk about natural building from this colonized, sanitized perspective, you know, where we have white people teaching us about co-op and all of these things. But it's just like, as I was driving, all I was seeing were just these ovens, bro. And for me, it's like, yes, on the one part, cooking bricks. But as someone that works with clay, it becomes an off-grid solution. You know, like to buy a kiln, you need nothing less than 50K for a proper large-sized thing where you can make any size of work. And I'm driving through a space where everyone makes this J for vibes. And I'm just like, yeah, in the moon, like as South Africans, we're really dumb. Like, we've lost really essential knowledge, and the homies have held on to it. But long story cut short, we're taking a walk with Toby the other day down the road, and as we're standing there, we're looking at Gogo's one. The one that they used to fire to build this place. And I'm talking, I want to nice little big science. And as we look across, Haibo, there's an emerging one. And you see men on the ground, they're making the bricks, they're doing them like, oh, baby, is your pa, go on. We get there, bro. Ah, man, such a warm welcome, you know. The homies share the knowledge of what they're doing, how they're doing it. They give us practical hands-on experience workshopping this thing right there on the spot.
They're suddenly making bricks.
Yeah. They've offered to give us or sell us a form to make bricks as well. And I mean, that was like, I guess, the small thing. They then invite us to their home, bro. And they give us like a pack of beans to plant. They give me imbeu zeselwa. You know, calabash seeds. They cook us a meal that I've bro, like, I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, charming banter that's happening. That,
how did you deal with the language?
Hey man, English is always a middle ground, but interestingly, not really. The other homie there speaks Shangaan, so I hear Shangaan. He learned Shangaan in South Africa because he speaks Shona. I hear Shangaan somewhat, and I'm answering. It's piti said. But it's piti that shows that we've never had a problem understanding one another.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but we tattoo even. Jongan, diababuz, pofkubuzu baby, but how do you say goodbye? Yeah, but and by Achoba, Sarah Zoganaka. Yeah, bro. And because I've already been told Zoganaka means good, I'm like, it's the same thing as Usalagashe. Mm. Do you understand? So at some point, your brain does the merger. So sometimes you'd see but at some point you catch on, and I don't know the language, but there's a sense in which when you really listen with intention, it comes. So I think my second biggest moment was the fact that the kindness was not in the space where we were hosted. The kindness was everywhere, because I worked into a stranger's home I spent barely 20 minutes there. And lizards in the bank person again is bam song as andazam. Do you understand this, my brother? And do you understand how heartbreaking Lenditekong Koko is? Bam, I'm crossing the border with non-GMO seeds that they've been saving from their grandparents, mm-hmm. Like they're giving me a gift that deep, King.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to go home with that for my own family, for my own yours get. You understand? But chonga bakwenze ngandona. You know, so I really want to say, man, uthando is a real thing. You know, it's not pretentious, it's not because we are here sangoma ring. There was nothing sangoma about that conversation. It was just the weird looking guy asking about bricks and men my age and younger and older amused at the fact that I can't make bricks, but amused in a way that says this is so simple as opposed to a wibarwe. You know, amused in a way that says, oh man, so born with any kind, I'm busy. I'm like, yeah, so yeah. They're like, anything you have access to, you can make this thing. You can come build your house even there if you want. It's for nele. You know, and I'm just like, all in a 40 minute walk or some shit. All in just saying, just check out the vibes, you know. So it leaves me wondering what would have happened if I had more time to just. You understand? Like, I feel like the love would be the same. And that's the thing, like, Bhutan.
That was your point earlier.
So at some point, one of the generators, the one that pumps water from the borehole, packed up, and now we have to figure out how to fix it. And the two people fixing it are from two different countries. One is from Botswana, the other one is from Zim, and there's a huge language barrier in trying to fix this generator.
That was your point earlier.
I mean, I was afraid of telling my family that I'm coming to Zimbabwe. Because of everything that's happening in South Africa. And I was questioning myself, what does it mean to say to my mother, I'm going to a country where the people we are chasing away are here with us, and I want to go there where we are saying they must go.
Intentional.
Yes.
roundabout same dates.
I didn't know what I was going to say to her. But one thing that she said was, at least ubuye, which is a shared or mutual feeling that the women in this place feel with their children. To say, even if they are chasing you away, at least ufike, at least make it here, make it back home. So I was really scared. I think someone posted a video in the group where we saw our brothers and sisters running for their lives. And it was such a scary thing. But for some reason, I was like, that's where I'm going. I'm definitely going there. I want to see what it's like. I want to, if I get trapped, I get trapped. But I want to see what it's like to go there in this time. It was really scary. And every time a person would ask you, are you flying? Are you driving? But this time it wasn't a question of, so how many bus? Oh, how long are you gonna take? It was a, how are you going to travel where you're not gonna get harmed in this whole thing? And I remember the first officer or constable that we saw after leaving the border wrote us a ticket. And I was just like, yeah, yanyiwa manje. But everyone, every other constable we met at every 5 kilometer was just kind, was just loving. And I remember one asked and said, first he was very serious, you know? And then when we were just like, oh yeah, guys, it's never ending. I was like, so how's Mzansi? And we were caught off guard so much that we just stared at him and burst into laughter. We couldn't believe this guy is asking us, how's Mzansi? You know, it's like he also can't believe that we are here.
Yeah.
But he more so can't believe that we're here at this time.
Yeah.
Where on a general day, he could ask, how's Mzansi? Hey, my daughter's there, I want to come there. But he's asking out of curiosity, but also concern at the same time. Also wondering, why are you here? You know?
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the one who said, I forgive you guys? I understand that not everyone is like that. Do you remember that one?
So there's that anxiety and fear of, I'm walking into 1976, but I'm going anyways.
Yeah.
You know? And as Muzanen has already shared the experience of, we didn't walk a kilometer away, but we were met with so much love and kindness. Where someone could give you food for the next generation without thinking twice, you know? And it was the most incredible thing. We're speaking to Solomon's wife, who says, why are you from South Africa? Like, Tembisa. I was like, yeah, my sister is there in Ghana. And I know exactly the place she's talking about, you know? And this guy is like, yeah, I know Mpumalanga, I work not so. He's telling us these places and he's like, I can come build your home. And for me, I walk away with that excitement where I'm like, I know my auntie has a Zimbabwean husband today. I want to go to her and say, hey, I come from this particular place. I want to go see him and say, Makadi. You know, I walk away with the same excitement of wanting to say, I see you and I see where you come from. But yeah, lastly, another moment for me was after, so I fell asleep after we left the border for like many hours, apparently. But when I wake up, there's a place where we stopped by and I just couldn't stop weeping. I felt and understood why those people come to our country. I saw it and I couldn't hold myself. I felt it beyond a border, beyond a language, but I felt it on a Black person level, Black person to Black person, sister to sister, brother to brother. And I just asked myself, but why should we do things in such a way that divides us and separates us like this when we are in fact one person? But what I'm saying is, it has been such a necessary and important experience that I walk away from changed for life.
Yeah.
Changed for life.
Yeah. I had two moments. The first one was, there's a second batch of people that arrived. Gadraga. I think Sarasara, you know it.
What's
a Sarasara? Shangan. Meat.
Millie meal bag.
And I'm sitting there. And I'm really a fan of love, but I realized these people stopped everything that possibly matters to them and got onto a car. Seeing also the ways that they greet, Ugogo walked out, Adumelisa, each one of them. So used to Kobela, Baduzika, Dumbeyili, gods. And this lady walked and hugged people. Where possibly, if we're to hierarchize, I don't know if that's a word, hierarchize something. Maybe that, you understand? You understand? And the second one was when everyone was receiving mabai. As again, think about love and how love trickles into generations. There's a grandmother who's going to go home with a bayi who's going to tell a story of Tato, who comes from South Africa, and a grandchild who's going to hold that. Mm. And who's one day going to go into South Africa and say, my grandmother one day came home with a bayi. Mm. Doesn't know Tato, doesn't know that we haven't slept for so many days. But because of this thing, because also these things are so small to us. I wept. There's a lady who came, Mulaga Koneng, and she knelt at Togo Zizana. I was like, bro, it's a bayi, but you're conjuring so much gratitude. I think we're unaware how much we mean to each other. We're unaware of how much we actually... We're each other's, there's a poem that we're each other's magnitude and bond. We're unaware of how much being here. Because give me bayaka le rekang meu. I was also looking at, because also it's very quick for us to create a poverty mentality, that there's a possibly mutemong atrasitzen le bay leo and hana chelete. And they've been praying or mudimu kupa chale tale bay. And in that moment, that prayer was answered. I was thinking about Ugogo Tato and Heal the Healer. We go into people's spaces and we don't actually know what we are carrying and the prayers that are being answered by just being there. There's possibly someone who's been here for 3 days, but they've been fed by being here. They've been fed. Someone had to like a stress, so calculate what's for breakfast, what's for lunch, just because of spirit work. So I think about, I was talking a lot about love in the car, and I think also when the people arrived, that's when Badimu Baide Batsuwa Hore. We're also here, we're also foreign. I love creating space for people to be fully themselves because I think we fully deserve to blossom and thrive. But something moved me about Bomebana. Wholeheartedly. How now they cause hangata I'm so yo mudim hunchus hangata mikiting hunalibo maybe in South Africa or Lesotho hotla botse ba re what about to fumana savanna. I'm sure ba tse lotse na savanna e tlana le teng. They're just here. So there were really lessons on love. Those ladies, those in the corner, they're dancing. I was like, there's a story that's going to be told generations to come. Hore. Elroy, the God who sees me. Mudimu aka na rapela Elroy, mudimu aka ampona ngona apara le baile. Khona ka hana laita kerese because o bone mudimu ha mo arabela. Ona apara tshwara ke sithunya ga lo na apara le baile. Me
you busy.
You understand? Mudimu aka hana kokota, mudimu wa metsi le dikwena ba le di metsi ya tlisa bophelo. You understand? How le thata ho omme ba ne ke modimo o phunyang le diba. Na para le baile and there's a child. Oh, that memory is going to be ingrained and that is the first relationship they have with God, with someone. And I was looking at her that you said something that so much has, so many lineages and so many histories have converged for us to all be here. We need to be more careful with each other. We need to be more loving. But we are not seeing each other. Let's not say kamaku, but as we are not seeing each other.
I think all I want to say is, it's so interesting that in all of this happening, I've probably met three dudes who all want my number and are telling me that they're going to come to South Africa.
Mm.
Like, it has not discouraged them. They know that it's not the end of the world, you know. And within all the hurt, they still are like, ah, Rasta, I want to come there. I'll call you. Where do you live? I know Pretoria. Attridgeville, you know? And for me, man, I think that has like really made my spirit feel light. That people are not saying, oh, you are from there. I'm never going there.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, we are having a misunderstanding. You know, we're siblings. Maraksas has opened us pagel, it's Genesee 1, we're gonna eat together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, that's been really encouraging.
I think I probably have two scaftings as takeaway to South Africa. But before I get on to these two scaftings, I want to say the first thing I couldn't wait to say to Mzwanene when I got here was Coco's family is so supportive. Mm. I don't know how she does it when she's people who love her like this. And not just her family, but the people she keeps around her have so much light. I got here and I couldn't stop talking about how great our journey was. And I just remembered the importance of uthando, ubuntu nokuphilisana. And I just want to say thank you to Gogo's family, the healers in the room and friends for your love, for your warmth, and for seeing me. That we came here to be received with so much love, but we came here with so much love already. And I just want to commend you. I haven't met most of you before this journey, but I want to commend you for the love and the holding of space that you're doing. Because I said to him, if I were ever to do something like this, I don't know who would show up for me. Mm-hmm. And so I was deeply touched. I was deeply, deeply touched by everyone. And the two takeaways would be, the only two ladies I could speak to here that understood me and I understood, told me they were studying. And I mean, part of the reasons why I wept when we got here and I was awakened to the situation, I was like, yo, people here are suffering. And sometimes we tend to make a spectacle of what is not going right. But it's like in the midst of the suffering, if there is, in the midst of none of these privileges that we have, the two ladies told me they were studying, yeah, after I finish my course, I want to do this. And I was so shocked that someone in a village where there's no network is doing teaching, the other is learning to be a chef. I was extremely touched and I just wished that South Africans could know that You can walk out to your library. There's a library, number one. Number two, there's Wi-Fi. But you are not taking the opportunity to study. But people here, no matter how expensive education is, they are studying. Number two is the family structure. The family structure is strong. The children have mothers and fathers here. Something we don't have in South Africa. And I just ask myself, how are they able to keep it going? Where I can't text you and say, sorry, I got delayed. Or I'm sorry, we couldn't talk today. Where we rely on seeing each other for communication. But the love is real. The love is there. The children here can point, that's my father. That's my mother. And I'm just like, I can't do that. And I can count, I've lost count of the number of families I saw in the space. And no matter how young a family was, but there was a mother, there was a father, and they were all so proud and say, this is my wife, these are my children. And what I noticed with most of the guys that were asking women out, were asking if they were married. They were not asking if, do you like me? I like you. When they look at a woman, they think of building a family. They think of making someone a wife, honoring them. And I think that is something I'm taking away to say, I'm gonna go to South Africa and say, hey, batuba Zimbabwe babadile. Batuba Zimbabwe banali meling tate. We can learn so much from these people. And as much as we, in South Africa, we've stopped seeing the good in our brothers and sisters, there's so much that they can teach us about self-sustainability, about family, about education, and just mutual love and understanding.
To say that this has been a complex topic would be an insane understatement. To say that this trip has been a simple and straightforward one would be equally farcical. There is a great difficulty in reconciling the socio-economic, geopolitical issues and the spiritual and the metaphysical aspects of this topic. What is worse is that on the South African side of the topic, much of what we are complaining about is not necessarily statistical fact. I mean, official statistics don't match the people's sentiment, but people are functioning from a perspective of lived experience. People feel what they feel. But once you take out the borders, what you have is people moving from one place to another, looking for a better life. Once you put in borders, what you have is people becoming criminals, people becoming foreigners. Once you take out the borders, what you have is people moving from one place to another place in the same way that they have been doing for tens of thousands of years. I've been thinking about the questions that I wanted to ask the people here, but this village, the people in it, their experience is different from people who would be in urban areas in the same country in Zimbabwe. Their experiences would differ from people in Mozambique. Their experiences would differ from people from Malawi, from Uganda, from Zambia. Black African people are not a monolith. We are not a faceless horde of neediness. And the attempt to try to group them as one body that represents a particular danger to these colonial borders that have been thrust upon us is disingenuous. It's facetious in some ways. This is not in any way to deny the harm that our porous borders have brought onto us, be it in with service delivery, crime, and all of those things. But we've fallen way too deep in our protection of ourselves. Every country has the right to defend its sovereignty, and every country has the right to enforce its laws. But the laws that we're enforcing are not going to outlive us. I think this trip for me has been about remembering, not necessarily remembering the past, but remembering the self that exists beyond the borders. Remembering that in more ways than we can count, we are interconnected, that our lineages intertwine across these superficial borders. My hope is that in all that has been happening, that it has not planted a seed of self-importance, that our descendants will look back and in one way or another understand and not question us the way we question our predecessors, to say, why didn't you do this or why did you do that? I would like to thank Gogo Tato. I'd like to thank Heal the Healer, Palisa, Tsebo, Rez, Tobile, Shez, Malumesepiso, Malumesipo, Malumetepo, Kiki, Mazimba, Mvula, and Ukoko, and the entire village, and the spirit that welcomed us and carried us, and every single person who held space for us, even though we were strangers. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen and to walk this journey with me. My name is Vusumzi Mande. Thank you for joining me on this episode of The Journey Kwantu. I wish you light, I wish you courage, and I wish you all the very best on your journey. Makwande.